What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran. On the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Staying alive like the Miami Heat.
Hey, my man. I'm glad to hear it. Banger in the paint, healthy shoulders and all. Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
You know what? After last night's game, a lot better.
You're also happy about this? Get another game?
Happy is an understatement. I think there's a lot of storylines that are from this game, and it makes it a little more interesting. And hey, we don't have to hear about LeBron having a sweep in the finals ever.
We just hear about LeBron getting swept in the past from like 13 years ago, and people are still holding it over his head.
I feel like all the media types are talking about right now is LeBron leaving the court with 3 minutes or 3 seconds left in the game. Sorry.
I mean, it's very disrespectful. If we're going to torch Isaiah Thomas 30 years later, I'm going to torch LeBron.
That whole storyline is so stupid, though. They're inbounding the ball just to put the ball on the floor and to make the ref go pick it up anyway. The game's already over. Who cares? Even as a resident LeBron hater, I don't care.
You should care. This is something to use to hate on LeBron with. Come on, man.
I'd rather see the series get tied up tomorrow instead and Bam Adebayo come back and take Myers Leonard's minutes. That would make me much happier.
All right, well, let's get into it then. The Miami Heat have won Game 3, 115-104, and I'm sure you've heard it all. The Lakers came out flat. Jimmy Butler had a 40-point triple-double without taking a three. LeBron James obviously leaves the court with 3 seconds left. Danny Green still can't hit a shot. KCP can't hit a shot. Apparently, Kelly Olynyk is the big man that everyone's going to want on their team next year, even though I don't think his contract is up yet. And Tyler Hero seems to still think he's the baddest MF-er on the floor. So, Raj, where do you want to start? I just gave you a bunch of talking points. Where do you want to begin?
I think the most important thing about this is just Jimmy Butler asserting himself in the game. I think he did a good job of letting his teammates get some good looks at the baskets, not forcing anything. But down the stretch, when he knew that they needed to keep scoring and to fend off the Lakers' late surge, he knew how to take over. He was getting great looks. They were able to get a lot of switches. So obviously LeBron was on him, and they were able to get some very easy switches for him to go against KCP, to him to go against Caruso and other defenders. And he was getting to the rim at ease, really.
Yeah, for me, it was just about Jimmy Butler figuring out the matchup hunting. I mean, when Danny Green was on the floor, he was just blowing by him every single time in the first half, especially. And then the second half, he was just taking advantage in terms of his girth against Alex Caruso and KCP especially. And then he was also, being the handoff guy, like the Bam Adebayo type player in the high post a lot of the time against, the Lakers switching defense, which caused a lot of open shots on the perimeter for guys like Kelly Olynyk because Dwight Howard doesn't want to get out there, or even Anthony Davis getting a few fouls that were a bit, they weren't the greatest calls, let's just say. But there also were a couple of, like, really stupid fouls by Davis. Like, this fourth foul when he was guarding Myers Leonard trying to reach in, coming across the screen was just mind-boggling to me. But it took a 40-point triple-double to beat the Lakers at the same time. So the Miami Heat obviously need Bam Adebayo back next game because, that was probably a top 10, if not top 5, performance in the history of the NBA Finals, right?
There were a lot of mentions of LeBron's Game 2 against the Warriors in 2015, right? That obviously, that series, they didn't have Kyrie, they didn't have Kevin Love, so it's reminiscent of, draws a lot of similarities to Jimmy Butler not having Goran Dragic or Bam Adebayo. And obviously, I think LeBron went for like 53 that game, which is pretty insane. This is also the first game that anyone's had more rebounds and assists than LeBron in a finals game, which is like, a feat on its own, right? Jimmy Butler just essentially went LeBron over LeBron, which is damn impressive. I really want to look at the way the Miami Heat played defense yesterday because, throughout that Boston series, through the Milwaukee series, we saw a lot of zone defense where the two guards were hanging out at the top. But this game, like, it was straight up just man-to-man defense from beginning to end, right? There was no zone whatsoever, actually. I don't remember seeing the zone once. And as a result, you didn't have opportunities for guys like Anthony Davis to essentially just elevate over everyone else on the floor for offensive rebounds. In game two, we saw that a lot where, you know, Anthony Davis would just hang out in the area that Kendrick Nunn was covering on the zone. And then as soon as that shot went up, AD was just going to go right over him and just grab that ball from midair. Because, you know, you're not going to expect Kendrick Nunn, a rookie who's like, what, 6'1", 6'2", at the most, to be able to box someone out like AD. But this game, it was just straight bodies on him the whole time. Jay Crowder was pushing him around. Jay Crowder also fronted a lot, which was nice. So then, you know, obviously the help defense comes around and rotations for Miami were tight. And that man-to-man defense really took it to another level. I'm not sure the Lakers were even, like, if they even scouted for it or if they weren't prepared for it or if they were just like, we're just going to chill, man. It's game three. We're already up 2-0. Sort of like the Nuggets series all over again. Like, who cares if we lose game three? We'll have 4 and 5. Easy money. Classic Lakers mentality.
Yeah, I think the defense on LeBron was the most important part because they changed up their scheme to where they weren't leaving Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero on an island. Like, at times they would switch, especially later in the clock or like midway through the clock. And then once LeBron started getting to his move, then Jimmy Butler would just like rush over and essentially apply not quite a scram switch, but pretty much the exact same thing as a scram switch where he's rushing over to LeBron. And once Duncan Robinson sees that, he just rushes around to the other side of the court to whoever was being guarded by Jimmy Butler. So it's a pretty interesting scheme that Spoelstra put on last game. But I think that they're going to have to think one step ahead come next game because LeBron's obviously going to see that, look at the tape and be like, all right, this is what I need to do in this situation. And obviously there was times where like Duncan Robinson especially was, coming out to LeBron, showing and then getting back to usually KCP since he was guarding him. And KCP had a terrible game too. So they're going to have to think about different schemes if Adebayo is back, and right now he's questionable. I think if Adebayo does come back, they're going to think about playing zone more because he's the heart of the zone, obviously, playing in the middle, and he's a guy that can stop all those alley-oop plays, and they can switch it up a little bit. So they're going to have to get creative in game four, whether he plays or not.
Yeah, it's sort of, at this point, it's a lot of just coaching against each other, right? Like, seeing how Frank Vogel really comes back and just says like, hey, we're not letting this happen again. We're actually going to keep LeBron on Jimmy Butler instead of switching on all the screens. If you watch down the stretch, every screen, that wasn't even a hard screen. It was just like, oh, someone's in the vicinity. LeBron, I'm just going to chill. Switch. Markieff Morris, switch. KCP, switch onto Jimmy. I don't want to cover him. It was very strange for LeBron to just sort of just coast on defense down the stretch. You know what I mean, Raj? Like, the guy legit just chilled. It wasn't anything close to a hard screen. He was just like, nah, I'm good. You guys do it.
Yeah, I think that's an adjustment the Lakers are also going to make on the defensive end is, especially with Jimmy Butler late in the game, late in the shot clock, they're going to probably trap him and get the ball out of his hand and make Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson make a shot, even Kendrick Nunn. Because they were switching on almost like, well, not almost, they were switching as soon as someone even came up to put the screen on. And especially because Jimmy Butler didn't even make a three. I don't think they need to be that worried about letting LeBron go under the screen or trapping Jimmy Butler. Because obviously he's the biggest threat with Goran Dragic out. Another thing, too, which I think the Miami Heat did, which they got to the rim early in the game, and they put a lot of pressure on Anthony Davis, and he got into early foul trouble, and he couldn't establish his rhythm. And especially when you look at just the turnovers alone, LeBron and Anthony Davis combined had 13 turnovers in that game. And I think the Heat as a team had like 8 or 9. So it just shows how carefully they took care of the ball, and in my opinion they probably played close to a perfect game and they were able to squeeze through a win. And without Dragic and Bam, they're gonna have to have luck and a perfect game to win another one. But you know what, they did it once, so what's stopping them from doing it again?
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to really switch up how they guard Jimmy Butler. I think they're going to where a lot of these screen plays, they might just end up going under because obviously, Jimmy Butler didn't take any threes last game, and he's not a great outside shooter anyway, so you play the percentages there, especially shooting off the dribble. So that's one thing they can do, or they can just trap the ball and just, you know, let their lower percent three-point shooters get these shots off. Like Kendrick Nunn, he's been absolutely terrible for Miami. Obviously, had 4 turnovers in 20 minutes. But guys like that, even like Hero was 6-for-18, and Duncan Robinson didn't have a very good game either. He hasn't shown up at all in the series. So I think for Miami to win next game, their 3-point shooters are going to have to get like ultra hot. Like I think back to the Cleveland Golden State game when Cleveland had Golden State had Durant, and Cleveland won game, I think it was game 4, where they hit like 22 threes. I think if Miami's going to win game 4, they have to hit like at least 17 threes to win. Because I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to be capable of putting up a historic type of performance again. I mean, his numbers were just absolutely bonkers. He was the first player, as Peter mentioned, to outscore, out-rebound, out-assist LeBron James in a finals game, which speaks to how great LeBron is, obviously. That's including LeBron's teammates throughout the entirety of his career. And then he had a 40-point triple-double, and he also had 70% from the field. And he's in a very exclusive group there. You have Chris Webber, who did that in the regular season in 95, Charles Barkley in 93. And the rest of the guys are from the regular season. Magic did it, and Wolf did it 3 times. So a 40-point triple-double and shooting 70% from the field as a guard speaks to Jimmy Butler's greatness, but obviously the Lakers' defense as well.
He's also, I think, like the second or third player to have a 40-point game without shooting any threes, right? I think it was just Kareem and Shaq in the finals.
So I feel like Dwayne Wade's done it too.
Really? In the finals without a three? No way.
Maybe not the finals, but definitely in the playoffs for sure.
I think the one that I saw at least was in the finals.
I feel like he's done it against Dallas. I think in that series, he must have done it at least once, because that series, he was just going off.
In 06?
Yeah.
He shot a lot of threes. Well, not a lot. He shot 1 or 2 threes a game, maybe, at that point. Imagine that. Imagine your 2-guard only shooting 1 or 2 threes a game nowadays.
That's blasphemy.
You'd have DeMar DeRozan.
I mean, going back to Dallas, right? Like Jimmy Butler's basically turned into Dirk in a lot of these possessions where they just isolate him at the top of the key. And with Bam out of the picture, they have Olynyk on the floor. And he's just, you know, either posting up or taking guys off the dribble from the free throw line area. And if the Lakers come, they're coming from the wings, which is going to leave, you know, somebody wide, wide open. So the fact that they're attacking from the top of the key or at the top of the 3-point line just gives Butler way more space.
So you calling Tyler Hero the Jet?
In this situation, he is. Yeah, except the Jet shot a lot better in the finals than he is right now.
Man, this Miami team literally, like, they can't shoot at all from outside, can they? Duncan Robinson went 3-for-10. Jay Crowder was 2-for-8. It actually looked like Crowder had a better shooting game. Tyler Hero, we mentioned he was 6-of-18 from the field, but 2-of-7 from 3. I mean, the only other guys to hit threes were Kelly Olynyk, 3-for-5. And this little stretch in the second quarter was absolutely amazing to watch, where Solomon Hill hit a transition three, a guarded transition three, and then the next possession down, J.R. Smith proceeded to hit a three in his face. That was a major blast from the past, watching those two go head-to-head. And J.R. Smith ended up just -1 for the game, guys. I'm just saying, maybe J.R. needs some more time.
Speaking of players that actually need more time, I think Kelly Olynyk in the last 2 games has shown that he can be a valuable player in this series, especially his size and Bam's injury. He's one of the players that can spread the court. He's actually shooting very well from 3, even in the regular season. And he provides some strength on the boards. Like, he was able to collect 7 rebounds. Shot the ball very well from the free throw line, shot a good percentage. So overall, like, I think for the Heat to have a chance, even if Bam comes back, I doubt he's going to be playing 35 minutes. So they got to make sure that Kelly Olynyk plays, and hopefully he plays well.
And they also have to make sure that Anthony Davis stays out of the game as much as possible. And when he's in the game, as Peter mentioned, fronting the post and then basically doubling him on the catch once the ball gets lobbed into him was a pretty genius move, because that's one area in this game where he hasn't really gotten too much better in terms of, like, going against a really scrambling defense and making the correct pass out of the double team. Like, he's okay. He's good at it at times, but in high-pressure moments, like, we saw him crumble last game, obviously, so he's going to have to clean that up. And the Lakers going to have to maybe get a cutter into the middle there where, you know, Davis is not making a pass to the opposite corner, which is something that he's not good at. LeBron's obviously the best in history in doing that and making the cross-court pass, but Davis isn't quite there yet. So I think with the Heat, not only with their shooting next game, but they just have to try to eliminate Davis as much as possible. And I think when they front the post like that and they play somebody behind as well, creating a double team effect no matter what, whether he catches the ball or not, you also get in better rebounding position as well since you have one guy in front and one guy behind him. And I think that was a major key to the game as well because I think Davis had 8 offensive rebounds in game 2. And this game, he didn't have nearly as many, obviously. So if the Heat can clean up the boards as well and shoot a good percent from 3, they'll have a shot in game 4. But I just don't want to get fooled by what was a historic performance. And I still think the Lakers are probably going to take this in 5 games, unfortunately. Saddens me to say.
Yeah, that's sad. Anthony Davis had 2 offensive rebounds in game 3. So not quite the 8 that we saw in game 2. But I don't know, man. Can I just say Anthony Davis is soft? Boom. How about that? Getting bodied by Jay Crowder and Kelly Olynyk? Come on, man. You're supposed to be a top 5 player in the league and you're going to let these guys get in your head? Or get in your body? Come on, man.
I don't like how the media keeps bringing up the fact that this guy is like a better version or a modern version of Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. Let the guy win one first before you start talking about him in that vein, you know?
He certainly has that potential, right? Like, he has all the tools to be a legit top 5 player or top 3 player even. But there's just something missing in what he brings. I don't know if it's like an attitude thing or if he's just not as hungry as those guys are. Like, who knows, right? Like, I don't think any of us are in the position to really know what he's lacking. But there's certainly something not there in his game that could bring him to, like, that elevation.
Yeah, because, you know, there's some games in the playoffs where he just totally disappears. And then, obviously, the other games, he's spectacular. For the most part, he's been really, really, really good in the playoffs. But he does have these games, sprinkled throughout where he has a bunch of turnovers or a bunch of fouls. He's just looking to see an aggressive player, and teams are able to game plan for him effectively. And even if he's not playing well on the offensive end, he should still be able to do the kind of stuff that Duncan and Garnett used to do, and just control the paint area and just dissuade people from getting there in the first place, honestly. Like, he did that in games 1 and 2 where the Heat just couldn't get anything inside. And he had his moments in game 3. Like, there's one play where he scared Jimmy Butler into passing the ball out when he had a wide open layup. Like, little things like that, just coming over and just being that, detractor at the rim. But overall, he just has these weird games like this where he just doesn't seem like his head's in the game or something along those lines.
That play was pure lane intimidation. That was pretty cool to see, actually. Because Jimmy Butler's the kind of guy that, like, huh?
Butler had a few of those, too. He had a couple of layups where he just kicked the ball out and the Lakers ended up, deflecting the ball and it went the other way.
He's just a selfless player, this Jimmy, man. What can I tell you, Josh? Jimmy gets buckets, but Jimmy also gets assists, you know?
11 of them.
Yeah, I think one thing that, just to talk about this game and probably wrap it up as well, I think this game that Miami had, and particularly Jimmy Butler, really cemented his position as probably an elite top 10 player. And I would definitely consider him a class above Paul George now with this performance.
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, those two were always put together when you ranked players in terms of tiers, right? Like, they would always be in the same tier with each other. But I mean, realistically, we should have put Jimmy Butler ahead of Paul George in that conversation earlier in the playoffs. Especially considering what Playoff P did all this year, but this solidified it for sure. Like, no doubt about it. This guy is on another level right now.
Yeah, and he's definitely, like, shown that even if the stats don't show that he's statistically a top 5 shooting guard, or even, I guess, he plays a lot of point guard, that in terms of his impact on the game, he's a top 10 player in the NBA. Like, his impact on the court is immeasurable, and he brought a team that none of us really predicted to put up any fight, and they've been in game two, probably never really had a foot in the game, but they were still challenging. And then last game they basically had a lead from the get-go and fought off two big Laker runs. So full credit to Jimmy, and I think he's going to get the praise he deserves.
It's all that big.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, Butler, I think, now is a step ahead of George. I think the biggest thing that, you know, differentiates their game is when Butler's not shooting well and he's not playing well overall. He still finds ways to get to the basket and get to the free throw line especially, whereas Paul George's game has sort of gone in the other direction where he's become mostly strictly a jump shooter. Like, his three-point attempts have gone way up, especially since he had that, you know, catastrophic injury. But Butler, no matter what, like, you're going to see that he's going to be at the line at least 7 times a game, if not more. And obviously last game he was at the line 14 times. So in games like that, Miami's going to be really hard to beat if he's getting to the basket that often, because they have such good three-point shooting and the team's going to try to keep Butler off the free throw line and create opportunities at the line, obviously.
All right, well, the series is still 2-1 for the Lakers, right? Like, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Josh, I know you keep reminding us that, you know, Miami still has to have some more miraculous performances for them to even this game up in game 4. Raj, what do you think, like, out of everything that we've talked about, what do you think is, like, the key piece that Miami could use? Or, you know, changes, attributes, whatever. Like, what do they need to do to secure a game 4 W?
Well, I think what they need to do is still be aggressive attacking the rim and basically go at Anthony Davis, because if they're able to get him in foul trouble again, it changes the whole dynamic of the game, changes the way that Frank Vogel has to manage LeBron's minutes. And I think Anthony Davis has shown a bit of inconsistency in his game. He's not at the same level of LeBron. And if they're able to do that, then they'll have a potential chance in the game. And what they really need to pray for is a big injury to LeBron and or AD.
No. Miami needs Bam. That's what they need. They need Bam. Once they get Bam back and Myers Leonard's off the court, they got a shot. And they also need to hit 20 threes next game.
Jesus, was that the noise you were making?
Yeah. Bam.
God damn, that is disgusting. Please stop.
He's not going to be replacing my Breen anytime soon.
Oh my goodness.
No, nobody's bang is as good as Mike Breen's.
Bang! Yo, one last thing before we call it here. What the hell is going on with Duncan Robinson? He's hit, you know, game two, I think he had 2 threes. Yesterday he went 4 of 12 and then 3 of 10 from the three. Josh, man, how do you get your groove back as a shooter?
I think for him, it's just a matter of slowing down his mechanics. I think he's going too quick on a lot of these shots. He thinks he's not as open as he is. I mean, the one that he hit against LeBron was like the toughest shot that he took all game, and he got fouled, and there wasn't a foul called on that play, and he got super pissed after that, obviously. But the ones where he's going against, like, KCP, like, he's taller than KCP, and oftentimes he has to step on him. And Robinson has shot those, you know, J.J. Redick-esque shots off screens a million times now this season. So he just needs to slow down a bit in terms of his shot. He's definitely rushing his shot. And you can tell by where the ball hits on the rim with a lot of his shots. Like, he had a couple last game where the ball just went over the rim and hit the other side of the backboard. And you can just tell that he was rushing it big time. Or in shots where he's short, I think he's trying to jump over these guys too much instead of just getting into his shot. Like, they're not going to block you. And if they try to, you can just flail like Reggie Miller, like he did a bunch of times last game, and he's going to get some, you know, jump shooting fouls and get to the free throw line 3 times from those situations. So he just needs to slow his game down.
Yeah, I'm going to echo everything that Josh said, but I also think he didn't have a horrible game. He was still able to get some open looks, and yes, he didn't hit them, but he still kept the flow going. And a few times he was in the middle of a shot, passed it off to Jimmy, and created another open look for another player. So hopefully he starts making a few more shots, but I don't think he was absolutely horrible. And hey, they won. So he just has to keep shooting.
I like it. I like it. Anything else, guys? Any last words of encouragement for the Heat and the Miami natives here?
Please, Miami, I hope win that another game.
Yeah, like we need more basketball because I think this offseason is going to have a lot of fireworks in it in terms of trades, especially with teams not wanting to spend a lot of money and still wanting to improve their teams. But I don't want the offseason to come that soon. So let's get another, you know, at least three games in so my 9-6 prediction can come true.
Miami 3 straight. Let's get it. I like those odds.
No, man, can you imagine what the media is going to be like if LeBron loses this series? That would be glorious.
You know they would just blame Anthony Davis. LeBron would die with like 50 point, averaging 50, but it would all go on to Anthony Davis. Let's be real. It's never going to be LeBron.
No, we'll talk about that when it happens. It's all going to be on LeBron because this is his team. This is his redemption. They never lose on Kobe jerseys. Why isn't he taking more shots? Why is he passing the ball to Caruso? This and that. Yeah. So, to be fair, LeBron does get a lot of the hate when they lose, even though he's playing pretty well. But we'll save that if it happens, which it won't. But we can dream.
All right, guys. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, all the major podcast platforms. You can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram, Stretch4Pod. Until next time, peace.